Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Tough customer for Yiner. Diaz, and Diaz crushes one. We've got ourselves a one-run game. Yiner Diaz on the first pitch from Mejia takes it out to left field.
Late afternoon, Yiner bomb.
There it is. There it is, Jeff Blum. So for a moment on Sunday, the Astros looked like they had a chance for another comeback victory. Did not know that they had 23 of them on the year. We learned that from the Dodgers broadcast earlier in today's show. They're not able to quite pull it off, but at that moment right there, after the Dodgers, for whatever reason, pulled their starting pitcher, that kid on his second start, what's his name again? River whatever? I couldn't get past the fact that his first name was River. I felt like his parents were trying a little bit too hard there.
Yeah, don't ever name your kid River.
No, there's the only other River that I've heard in my life is River Phoenix, Joaquin Phoenix's older brother. Okay. Who was in Stand By Me, and I believe he like passed away at a very young age. That's really all I know. That's the only other River I know. But River Ryan, it's a try-hard name. But he was really good. He had 8 strikeouts. They took him from the game, and, I mean, he outdueled Spencer Arrighetti by a little bit, but he did get that moment from Yiner Diaz. And I thought at that moment right there, oh, yeah, the Astros are going to come back again. Mm-hmm. They're going to get the sweep.
I thought so, too. And look, and this is – I just don't understand. One thing about the Astros I don't understand is how they struggle so much against guys who are nobodies. It's just been a thing over the last couple of years where – so River had never – I think I heard Todd say he had never pitched more than 75 pitches in a game in his professional career. He had never gone over 75 pitches. So he's always been a guy, even through the minors coming up, that is not going deep into games. And he goes five and two-thirds, throws 91 pitches. And he's just like – he's untouchable for some reason against the Houston Astros. It's like they just don't have an answer when they have no tape on a guy. They can't figure him out mid-game. And as soon as he comes out, Yiner hits the home run. He hits the Yiner bomb. He now leads all catchers in batting average across the league right now, which is super impressive considering his power, besides that home run yesterday, is really – it's not been the focal point of his offense.
But yeah.
I'm with you. I thought they were going to win that game when he hit it.
He's been on a tear of late. And as you said, yeah – 288. It's 21st in the majors, too. His batting average right now. I don't know how many people caught this on Sunday, but if you did catch it, I don't think it's ever going to leave your ear holes. I'm someone who has a curse. Things get stuck in my head. They never leave, and they just come out. Generally, it's music. Whenever it feels stuck in my head, I'll start singing it because I want everybody else to share in my pain. My misery. I don't know if I would have enjoyed hearing this or been mad hearing this at the ballpark all game long, but if you heard this, you'll definitely remember it as we play it again right now. That kid is the loudest kid
ever
I've ever heard in my life.
I'm sure he's in relative distance to the microphones.
I don't know.
But he's so loud, and he's getting like a pity clap. The people are doing it with him because...
Joe, he did that all game. He did that all game long. And I respect the volume of his voice. Maybe he's going to be a broadcaster someday. And as someone who struggles controlling the volume of my voice. It often fluctuates, and sometimes when I'm in a setting where I do not need to enunciate, my voice is going foghorn mode. My friends sometimes will turn a dial in front of me that is an indicator that I need to stop yelling all of my words. Yeah, that happens. I'm cool with it. I don't know how loud I'm being ever.
Okay.
I really don't know. Like, I need help. And that child, I mean, that child is going to be louder than me.
And yes.
He did that all game. I mean, I'm impressed by just the amount of reps that he put up. And, you know, you would think if you're a kid, you're going to get tired of making all that noise over the course of an entire game. Someone at least was trying to get the Astros fans up, because Saturday, okay, maybe because of all the Dodgers fans that were there, Saturday was a lively atmosphere. Sunday was rather dead. So you heard that kid all game long. And I'm still not sure how I feel about that kid. Like, I think I would be annoyed if I heard that all game. I'd be really annoyed if I was sitting nearby. Yes. But on the other side of things, I was impressed enough. And there was a part of me that thought to myself, you know what would be great? Is if, like, that kid got stuck in an elevator with Joe Kelly. And it just started yelling, Joe Kelly, hello! Joe, you're my favorite Lee Harvey Oswald lookalike. Hello, Joe. How are you? Can I have your autograph? Would you like to have a catch? Can you be my new dad?
Herring on the Twitch said I muted the Astros game because of that little monster. Like you said, though, Paul, I would be miserable if I was sitting next to him. It's so hard with kids because you don't want to be a... You can't really say anything to him. And you don't really want to, like, tell the dad to, like, tell his kid to pipe down.
I don't know. I would.
Especially...
I think I would if I were I'm a couple of years away from saying, like, hey, can you pipe that kid down?
But especially because he's not doing anything wrong. He's just loud and persistent. It's just loud and persistent. I'd be like, hey, dad, can you tell him to take a half inning off at least? Like, just take an inning off.
It's a delicate balance. So, on one hand, that was me back in the day. I was the kid going to Patriots games, Celtics games, that was angry when other people weren't loud. And I tried my best to help the home team have a little extra ambiance in the background to pump themselves out. On the other hand, I thought about getting a vasectomy after Sunday's game. This is where I'm at. I don't really know where I'm supposed to be. I respect the kid's game. I truly do. But if I were sitting near that at the ballpark all game, oh boy.
I'd throw popcorn at him.
The move has got to be like, hey dad, can I buy your son some ice cream?
creep.
Can I
That is a little creepy.
No, it's like, just what does he want to eat so he stops talking?
Popcorn is the best for to make people's throats a little bit less loose, if you will.
Also the sugar intake. I don't want to be giving this.
Worse.
No. I don't want to be giving this kid sugar.
Yeah,
giving him like a Coca-Cola would be the worst. A Mountain Dew, worst possible thing.
Hey, here's some cotton candy. Shut up.
I think you just gotta move seats if you're near him though. I don't think I could have handled it.
I agree. I think I would have left.
Yeah.
Not left the game, but just gone to a different part of the ballpark.
I would have gone to standing room only behind the Crawford boxes and just been like, you know, I'm going to stand for the next 6 hours.
Do you think you could hear him in the ballpark? Like,
people in the ballpark
field?
Are saying that they could not hear him. Donna was there yesterday on our Twitch.
Okay.
They were in the lower level, and she could not hear it. But Herring77 says, I muted the Astros game because of that little monster.
Yeah, on TV, here's where I land. I'm pro this kid. If I'm watching on TV, anti this kid if I'm in his section.
Yeah. You can mute your television.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's fair.
If not, I'm again, be quiet. Here's a peanut.
I'm
be
trying
quiet.
To think, like, as like a dad, like am I proud?
As a father?
Am I proud in that moment? Or am I just, like, you know. Like,
yeah, what would you do?
Are you annoyed?
I think I'm annoyed. I think I'm telling him to be quiet.
I don't know. Because we have past evidence to suggest that you might laugh a little bit at it.
I laugh when Joseph threw a pretzel at someone. I laugh.
I think you'd laugh at this for a little bit, and then you would get tired of it.
Yeah.
I think what you do as the dad, I think you do the age-old parenting technique. And trust me, Joe, take notes from me, not a father. I think you do the age-old parenting technique of lying. And you say, hey, it's like a football game where when the Astros are on offense, you don't make any noise.
Oh.
So at least to buy yourself half the game where you're not having to listen to, because you don't want to completely stifle this kid's emotion for the game and love of the game. But you also don't want a Dodger fan to throw a full beer at your head.
That's true. You don't. I mean, listen, Dodgers fans. By the way, people got very mad at me posting my little clip saying, "Like, hey, like, I know you're going to be tempted to bring a gun because of Dodgers fans because they're animals." But hey, like,
people got
don't.
Mad at you for that.
Oh, a bunch of Dodgers fans found it, which is exactly what I wanted. So okay, I mean, okay. Like, it was good. But yeah, the last thing you want in the world is a Dodgers fan to be mad at you as you walk out the stadium and into a parking lot. That's like Jaws, practically.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
You're asking for trouble.
Shark-infested waters.
Pretty much.
It's a tough situation, guys. I hope.
I respect the kid. I do respect him.
I'm sure a lot of people, too, were thinking at some point, who were like next to him, like, at some point he's going to lose his voice.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he did a complete game. Yeah. It was a complete game.
He's going to need a nap.
It was longer than River Ryan.
Pitchers can't throw complete games anymore, and this kid, who I'm guessing is like 9 to 10 years old or so, is just chanting all game long. I do wish he had, you know, expanded the repertoire a little bit, you know, perhaps some trash talk as well. Mm-hmm. But then he might have been taken out of the game a little bit earlier. So he might know exactly like what buttons he can press and what line he can cross and what line he can't.
Again, because he
didn't say anything bad.
He played it perfectly where he is just chanting. Now it is the same thing over and over again. And it is at a level where I want to blow my brains out.
Another fan can't tell that kid to shut up
either.
Yeah,
because he's not doing anything wrong.
Right.
He's just being annoying.
And as someone who, by the way, has spoken to a couple of kids, I've told this story before. I was at a Houston Dynamo game against the Seattle Sounders in the Western Conference playoffs, and they handed out these giant paper placards that were, I don't know, they were fairly big. They were bigger than a piece of paper. And it was like heavy cardboard that it was made of. And these two kids that were sitting in the same section as me, but way back, they kept on throwing these things. And I got hit not once, but twice by it. And I didn't really mind. But I went up to go to the bathroom. And on my way up, I said to them, like, hey, look, you guys are lucky that you didn't hit somebody who's more aggressive because you kids are old enough to know better. They were like in their late. They're probably in like high school. And I go to the bathroom because on the way I said, like, stop being little bleeps. And I just walked away. And I come back and the mother just starts berating me. And then her brother comes in and they're both yelling at me. And I was just like, well, I mean, you weren't doing anything about it. So I felt like I would pass some advice on the way up the stairs. Don't ever talk about my kids. And I was tempted to say, like, well, maybe you shouldn't have any. Maybe. I didn't do that. But yeah, security moved me to another part of the arena. So you don't talk to other people's kids, even though you should be able to talk to other people's kids.
How do you feel? How would you handle if it was an adult? If you were sitting like two or three seats down from a grown ass man that is screaming, "Let's go Astros!" like this the whole game.
Especially if they're drunk, you never know if it can turn into fisticuffs. Yeah. The good thing about a ball game is that there are places to walk to, and that you could theoretically watch away from your seats if you really feel the need to. Minute Maid Park has a couple of those areas. I would specifically point to center field and behind left field. There are some spots where you can walk around and you can watch the game. You're not going to have the best view, but you can watch the game and you're not obstructed really by anything. That's really all I have as a recommendation, though.
Yeah, it's just get up and leave. That just sucks. Like, if you pay like a lot of money for tickets.
Oh, yes. But I mean, on Saturday, you would have been screwed. Saturday was one of the six sellouts of the year. Sunday, you might have been able to find some other spots.
Hope this kid was in the nosebleeds.
He was close to the field.
Yeah, because he was picked up by the mics.
Yeah.
Poof.
It was a lot.
So loud. So loud. All right, it's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What the hell are the Astros going to do with the trade deadline? We've heard from Dana Brown a lot the last couple of days. He'll tell us next. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Danico Autry suspended 6 games by the NFL, newest Houston Texans pass rusher, and the Astros still in first place in the AL West after taking 2 of 3 over the weekend against the LA Dodgers. Dana Brown is the GM of the Houston Astros, and he had some interesting things to say over the course of the weekend. First, let's start off with what he had to say on Friday about any moves the Astros might make. They're focused on acquiring Joe, a number 3 or number 4 starter. If they do that, Brown said it would be, quote, good mission accomplished. When asked if any prospect is untouchable, Brown said there are guys they prefer not to part with, but no one is untouchable. That part's interesting.
Yeah, because the we have those weird, not weird, but those reports that he would lose sleep at night if he traded Jacob Melton.
Correct.
I guess that was last year, but right after the deadline passed, after they traded Gilbert, that he didn't want to move Melton. So maybe he's not as high on him this year as he was last year. Maybe he's more desperate this year to add a starting pitcher than when they added Verlander in 2023. But yeah, it's mission accomplished if you add a guy that helps you for now. I guess it does feel that there's teams that are getting significantly better around you. I like the trades the Mariners have made, adding a Rosarina and then the bullpen pitcher that they got. I like Jazz Chisholm for the Yankees. That's a good move. So it does seem that some of your biggest competitors are improving quite a bit. So I'd rather be, if we do a grade, I want to give the trade at least a B. Give me a B level of excitement. I don't need
a B level of excitement.
Yeah, I don't need a C. I don't need an A, but don't give me a D or an F. James Paxton would have been a D.
So you'll take a C trade then?
I'll take it. I won't love it, but I'm fine with trading prospects.
I think they're getting a C level trade. I feel like a B or an A, they don't have enough to get something that is actually good or great. And a B is good, and an A is great, and a C is satisfactory, all you people with your soft-ass grades.
Yeah, I think because at this point there's not even the target out there that would be realistic, that would be an A, that you would be fist bumping if the trade happens on our show either today or tomorrow, where we're they got Jack Flaherty. I feel like Jack Flaherty is C+, B-, where it's if it's something where it feels like a fleecing, then maybe we're excited. But ultimately, again, when Dana Brown sets the expectation that we're looking for a number 3 starter, that already kind of limits how excited you're gonna be.
The A is what what Phillies fans thought they had when there was a moment where it seemed like the Phillies were trading their top prospects for anyone, and Phillies fans believed it was Philadelphia native Mike Trout. And they got massive pants tense over it and were, in a circle doing things to one another on the internet.
And what hurts the Astros right now, too, is that the 2A trades that you, in theory, could make, they're not happening. Garrett Crochet, it looks like he's not being traded by the White Sox. I think what he said last week to Jesse Rogers of ESPN, where he said he would only pitch in the playoffs if he got a new contract, really hurt his market. And then it sounds like the Tigers, unless they're blown away, which the Astros can't do, are not trading Skubal, their starting pitcher. Those are the 2S guys who could have been available, and neither of them are being traded. So that hurts the Astros because it just means that the next level of guys are going for the most prospects. The trades we're seeing right now for bullpen arms is frankly outrageous. One of the guys you could have traded for, Eric Fetty, he just got traded from the White Sox to the Dodgers. So the market's drying up a little bit, and at this point, they have to make a trade.
They have to. What happens if they don't?
I'm not totally sure they win the division. Because Blanco is really struggling in his last couple starts. He looks tired. Arrighetti's too inconsistent. Jake Bloss does not belong on the big league roster. And Verlander and Garcia feel miles and millions of miles away for Garcia away. I'm not sure you're going to withstand this season with your current rotation.
I don't know if it's millions as far as miles away, but I get what you're saying. It does feel like it's not around the corner at the very least. And with that in mind, if they don't get somebody at the trade deadline, sure, maybe Seattle can take you
can overtake you. Texas losing three in a row, that's been nice over the course of the weekend. I look at it from this perspective. You can continue to procrastinate hoping that some of these injured guys are going to come back, but ultimately, do you really believe that they will be back out there? More from Dana Brown. This is Sunday now. Brown said that they are talking to some contender teams that might have a surplus. Reiterated that it's obvious we can use a starter because we've been piecing together that fifth starting spot. We have seven starters on the injured list. We talked about maybe doing some relief pitching just to give the guys on our back end a breather because we rode them very hard in the first half, so we can add a bullpen piece. That would be nice. Here is Dana Brown then, later on the Astros TV broadcast, Space City Home Network, saying that the goal is to make a move.
The goal is to try to get something done, yeah. Right? And so that's what we're focused on, and we want to get a move made, get some type of move made. But at the end of the day, you know, we still feel like we got JV coming back, Verlander. You know, you may have Garcia coming back. And so even if you acquire a starter, it's going to, you know, bunch up there at some point. But, you know, so we feel like we really want to do something, and we'll try to get it done, but we don't want to force it.
And that kid's back again there.
He is back there.
I got distracted, I'm not going to lie.
He said there's the May Garcia. So that's even a little bit different.
I know.
That doesn't sound very optimistic about Luis Garcia. He has said May. He has mentioned the bullpen. It's not a super great feeling. But to what he said there at the beginning about, you know, yes, if you add a starting pitcher, it might clump up a little bit when Justin Verlander gets back. Good. Good. You want to be in that position at this point. You want to be in a position where you have too much starting pitching and you have to make really tough decisions about who is going to the bullpen or who is going to Sugarland or who is going to be off the playoff roster. Like, the harder the decisions you've made, the better job that Dana Brown has done at the trade deadline. And just banking on Justin Verlander can't be – I don't think it can be enough.
I'm with you there. It's, you can't just expect these guys to get back when no one should have any faith in the Astros training or medical staff to get these guys back out there as quickly as possible, because if anything we've learned this year, it's that when they do that, it doesn't work out so well. Take a look at JP France, among others, maybe Garcia, Jose Urquidy. More from Dana Brown. Dana Brown was talking about the progress the Astros could be making towards deals with Todd Callis and Jeff Blum.
It feels like two steps forward, one step back at times. But, you know, we're trying to engage with all of the general managers, you know, in baseball, and so we're trying to do something to try to get a starter, of course. But ultimately, we're making some progress.
Making some progress.
Do you feel it's interesting that he has yet to mention position player? Because there's a lot of rumors about, you know, Yandy Diaz specifically, the first baseman from the Tampa Bay Rays, that they're connected to him, that they're talking to him. But every single time he talks, he really is just really only saying pitcher, starting pitcher.
I don't think they need a first baseman. I think Singleton did pretty well over the weekend. I understand that you would like to do better than what you have at first base. But I think right now, the expectation is Kyle Tucker is going to be back eventually. It still doesn't sound really promising with the last update that we got from Dana Brown, both the one where he said, well, he should be back by September, and also just talking about how serious his actual injury is. But what do you think? I mean, I feel like
it's not as if they trade for a first baseman, cool. Like I don't, it's not a high priority for me. I hear what he's saying. It's just, it almost feels like hey guys, we're open for business. Please only send us offers in which we receive a starting pitcher in return.
Serious just, pitching inquiries only.
Yeah, he just keeps bringing it up over and over and over again.
He even in the other clip brought up, like, yeah, even some teams that are contending, if they have a surplus somewhere, love to get in on that. We're just like, we're throwing as wide of a net as possible to get a starting pitcher. And yeah, I think part of the reason he doesn't bring up first base or any position players because he knows, hey, we only have so many assets to to send out to make a trade to get someone at this deadline, pitching is more of a need. Pitching is much more of a need than first base, where you can cobble it together and it be all right. The pitching, if one more guy goes down, you're back to the double A starter, triple A starter getting called up range. So they really do need a starter. I would like maybe a little bit more of a poker face from Dana Brown, but also I don't think the White Sox GM is watching the Astros broadcast being like, "Huh, see, he mentioned starter again."
They probably already know. They're like, "Hey, this is the only thing the Astros really want to acquire."
Yeah.
Is one of our starting pitchers.
I was listening to them talking about like the phone calls that they might be making over the broadcast, and Todd and Jeff were getting super geeky about hoping that Dana Brown actually breaks a trade on the air with them. And I just thought this to myself, this is a dumb millennial thought. It's gotta suck to be a general manager. You gotta do phone calls with everybody.
Oh.
Yeah, just cold calls.
Oh God, I don't wanna call anybody.
I would definitely push that off to an assistant.
Yeah.
Here's the guys we want, here's the guys we're okay sending out. You go work the phones. I'll come in and close it, but all the grunt work,
Like they're really not doing trades over text message yet.
Doesn't seem like it. I mean, they're all general managers, still generally older than us. So I can understand why that's not happening now. I bet Dana Brown's in his late 40s, early 50s. Could be wrong on that. I feel like the phone calls are still happening with the generation that is older than us.
57 for Dana Brown.
Oh, wow. He's looking good for 57. Not bad. But yeah, F that. I don't want to make a phone call ever. I don't want never call me. I call you, but you never call me.
Hey, Brian Cashman, it's me, Dana.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. Like, in fact, I don't want to even do it by text. I want email only.
Ooh.
Send me an email.
Cause I think I'd be annoyed. Like if you think back to Moneyball when he's hanging up on the GMs and they're calling the other one, I would also be very annoyed if I was the GM getting hung up on constantly.
Yeah.
Like, I'd just be like, hey, that's not good enough. Click. Or he calls back 3 minutes later.
Or like, hey, I thought we had a deal. Like, where he, and again, now this is just a scene from Moneyball, but where they have a deal, like, in principle agreed to someone else, but then he circles back to the Indians, and then actually that deal's better. We're making that deal. Call back the Royals. We're not making that deal. Where I'm just like, I was just on hold for 10 minutes. What the hell just happened?
Yeah, move to text messages, GMs.
Also,
come on.
Do you think they still use their office, like an office phone with multiple lines?
If the power goes out.
At this point, I think they still fax in the trades to the league office.
Okay.
So,
because I was thinking, like, is he using his cell phone? Or because, again, from the movie Moneyball, which takes place 20 years ago.
Never seen it.
They're using, like, an office phone and having receptionists, like, put people on hold and stuff. I'm like, this doesn't seem like an efficient way to do a deadline.
I kind of like the idea of someone putting all the people calling me on hold, though. I do like that. I just don't want to talk to anyone on the phone. They would just be on hold forever.
I hope
they're hearing that banger of a song, the hold song. If you heard that one. Want to play that next?
Hold music.
Let's skip the Around the NFL. I just want to play 12 minutes straight of that song.
I didn't know today was a weekend show. do you have tomorrow off and you didn't tell us?
Up next, we continue our countdown to the start of the NFL season. We remember legitimately the only moment where it looked like the Houston Texans might go to an AFC championship game. And Deshaun Watson is going out of his way to let you know he doesn't care what you think, which maybe means that he does care. But first, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You go in to that website, you enter the promo code BET975. You're going to get an awesome deposit bonus of up to $1,000. They will match every single dollar that you put in, and you get to play with that money right away. You can bet on the presidential election. You can bet on the Olympics. Right now on our television, what are they showing? This looks like it is some sort of beach volleyball. Maybe it's swimming. I don't know. You can bet on any of those things if you really want to. How about rhythmic gymnastics? Odds to win. Oh, I'm a big fan of Anzela Bladikova, but you know, you got to watch out for Zhu Xingying. One's plus 150, the other's plus 200. Who's in first? I don't know. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You can play blackjack. You can play poker. You can bet on the Olympics. You can bet on your beloved Astros. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
38 days away from the start of the NFL season, and only 3 days away from Houston Texans football. Hall of Fame game is Thursday. Only two Hall of Famers in NFL history wore number 38, Cal Hubbard and Arnie Herbert. They both wore 38 before World War II. So, makes you think, okay, well, who is the best number 38, I guess, in Houston Texans history? For those who don't remember, in the 2011 offseason, the Texans made two big signings. One of them was Jonathan Joseph, the best free agent signing they've ever made. We'll see if Danielle Hunter or if Danico Autry, that's not going to be the case anymore. He got suspended 6 games. We'll see if Danielle Hunter can at least compete with him on that front, coming off of a 16.5 sack season last year in Minnesota. But the best number 38 in Texans history also was signed in that 2011 offseason. Daniel Manning, who played for the Chicago Bears, he was a safety and a kick returner, came over to the Houston Texans, and in the 2012 season divisional playoffs against the New England Patriots, there was a moment in time where it looked like the Texans maybe would go into Foxborough and pull off an upset. This is the very first play of that game.
These kind of conditions. There's Daniel Manning. He's been given the kick returning duties here as of the postseason. And he takes it midway deep and runs out with it. Manning has a seam past the 30. And he's breaking it past midfield. Harrington has an angle on him. A chase from behind. And he is caught at the last moment.
A 94-yard kick return. I believe it was to the Patriots 8. And I remember watching that game as a Patriots fan and at the Texans flagship studios, pissing everybody off because I wore a Patriots jersey there.
I was going to ask that question.
My nuts tightened up a little bit. So did my butt. There was a little clenching going on. That's for sure. And then the Texans only managed a field goal, and I breathed a sigh of relief, knowing okay, they're still...
That's so
and then
Texas.
Tom Brady came running on the field. You're like, oh, wait, we have Tom Brady.
We're fine.
What am I scared of?
But there was a moment in that game where it looked like the Texans had a chance to advance to the AFC Championship.
And he's a Manning, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
You just hate him on purpose.
As long as he's not Peyton, chances are, if your last name's Manning, you'll make a play against the Patriots.
I was disappointed. I remember, I think back to, when he left the Bears to come here, and I was pissed. Because I love Daniel Manning. He's a good football player. And that's such a good combo that they had with him and Joseph. That's such a good offseason.
That is, such a not sexy, but we just made our secondary so much better.
It worked perfectly. And, yeah, their secondary was wretched before that. Also, who can forget, in Houston Texans history, DeMarcus Faggins, who played for the Texans from 2002 to 2008. We're all mature and none of us said anything about that. He is one of the better defensive backs in Houston Texans history. That is a very unfortunate last name.
It is. I've seen worse.
It's a boy named Sue situation, I'm sure. Where he had to get really good at football.
Is that why he had 6 good years for the Houston Texans? Possibly. I don't know.
It definitely helped him in high school. I'll say that. Yeah. When he was probably the best player on his high school team.
That would suck if you're the best player on your high school team and you're still getting that. Back in a time where that word was thrown around very willingly, let's just say.
Yeah, you have to... If you're bigger than everyone, it just helps you so much, though. Then you can
he's a defensive back, so...
Yeah, but he still was probably a lot bigger than most of his high school teams.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
More muscular, but not...
Yeah.
He wasn't a lineman.
He's 5'10" when he was in the NFL, so probably 5'8" in high school.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Jordan Love got paid Friday night. 4-year, $220 million deal with the Green Bay Packers after just one season as the starter. Love had this to say after the deal. There's no hiding from the pressure that comes with the new deal. Saying being a first-round pick, there's pressure. Becoming the starter, there's pressure. There's always more pressure. It's part of the job we sign up for. Some people on our Twitch, I know, believe that Love is better than C.J. Stroud.
I don't think he's better than C.J. Stroud, but it's his numbers in a lot of ways are very comparable. I mean, their playoff performances were nearly identical last year. He is a, in my mind, a top 10 quarterback going into the season. I think he put himself in that conversation with the way he played. I do think it's unfortunate for the Packers to have to pay him after one season, because what if it's a fluke? Like, if CJ was a fluke, the Texans are fine. Like, they can get another quarterback down. I mean, they're really not, but...
what are you talking about?
They're
not fine.
They're more fine than the Packers.
I don't want to watch the team ever again if they don't have CJ Stroud. But, like, this is the territory we've entered with a good quarterback. Well, yeah. You've seen a good quarterback. You never want to watch a team with a bad quarterback again.
Yeah, but Jordan Love, if he regresses, that's $50 million that you're stuck with him.
That's why teams don't sit guys for 3 years. That's why they don't sit them for one, really. It's because you don't want to... You want to know as much as possible before you have to actually start paying them money.
Unless they're the Packers, who do it all the time, and much to Joe's chagrin, it works every single
Somehow
time.
Somehow it just works.
You're so wishful right there. Like, oh, it might be, you know, one year deal.
What,
might be one year thing.
He'll be good. I just resigned. I'm just like, I'm good with it.
You're good with it? I don't think you're good with it.
I'm
okay.
You're not good with it.
You're right. I've accepted it. Yes. Correct.
You've accepted
thank
it.
You.
Yeah,
you.
Totally
yes,
different.
Thank you. I've accepted my punishment. I'm aware. I'm not going to be in denial anymore. I'm aware of what Jordan Love is going to do.
I think we will be comparing these two all season long. And I will say right now, with what I've seen from the Texans offense at training camp, I can understand how someone would be making the argument for Jordan Love. A little more experience. Feels like C.J. Stroud, again, his training camp, feels like C.J. Stroud's trying a little bit too hard right now behind an offensive line that's not doing a very good job.
It's not fair. C.J. has to go against the Texans defense in practice.
Maybe the Packers defense is good. Honestly,
What if the Texans... What if they're a top three defense?
Then great, awesome, wonderful, splendid, neato.
And that's why he looks bad.
That's what we're hoping.
Yes.
Kamari Lassiter, Darrell Revis 2.0.
Easy.
Deshaun Watson has not looked good for two seasons. Deshaun Watson, at a press conference over the weekend, was asked, what's different for you now heading into your third year with the Browns? Here is Deshaun Watson.
You know, blocking out all the bullshit, honestly, outside, you know. It was tough coming in 2 years, different environment, different, you know, different team, different all that. So, you know, you come in and, you know, your character's been, you know, mentioned this way, and then, you know, it kind of flip on you, and, you know, you're trying to, you know, biggest thing, you're trying to, you know, get people to, you know, like you or improve, but now it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's 2 years in, and if you don't, you know, like me or you have your own opinions, then forget it. It is what it is.
He might be one of the most unself-aware athletes we've ever seen. Lock out all the bull. It's all your stuff, dude. Like, this isn't baby mama drama. This is 23 women accuse you of sexual assault.
He doesn't have a leg to stand on as a player in Cleveland, and he doesn't have a leg to stand on off the field as a citizen of Cleveland. Yeah. Now, I guess none of this happened in Cleveland. It all happened here in Houston. But Watson wasn't done. He was asked about what motivates him heading into his third season with the Browns. Here's what he had to say.
What's your motivation?
Just being the best Deshaun Watson can be for this team so we can get that ultimate goal and maximizing my potential and my talent, and that's my motivation. You know, I don't have anything else that is going to motivate me.
If none of it's proving people wrong, like who rank quarterbacks?
I give two about the people say, to be honest.
Drop the hard F-bomb.
Seems kind of cranky.
Drop the BS. Watching him, he didn't look cranky. But I believe the quarterback doth protest too much. The BS is still going to be there. As long as you struggle, the BS will be there. People will wonder why the Browns made this deal and give you that crazy contract, especially in the wake of what you did, allegedly, off the field. But we're talking 26 allegations. And then, on top of all of that, I don't understand how anyone in Deshaun Watson's shoes could give a bleep about what his reputation is on the field and off the field. I just don't believe that. And I do think there is an air of, as you said a little bit earlier, Joe, zero self-awareness with him. But after 2 years, how do you not have a little bit on that front and wonder, are people ever going to like me again? So the idea that he doesn't care, I just don't buy into that at all.
I mean, yeah, you think that Deshaun Watson, who is going to be put into the category of one of the worst trades of sports history, doesn't care what people think of him? One of the worst contracts in sports history, doesn't care what people think of him?
Yeah, he's going to be on some worst of lists after a really promising start to his career in Houston, where after a 4-12 season, people were trying to make the argument that he was an MVP candidate. I mean, that doesn't happen often. I thought it was crazy. I wasn't here at the time, but I thought it was absolutely crazy. But hey, people still believed it in a 4-1 year, MVP.
I mean, even during that 4-year or 4-1 year, like the tenor of Houston was, we feel bad for Deshaun Watson,
yes,
that he has to be on this team. And when he initially demanded his trade, a lot of Texans fans were like, yeah, good. You should demand a trade. And then what came out afterwards. And everyone kind of, maybe that's what he's talking about, everyone flipping up on him. You know, once they found out that he was accused.
Whoa, flipping up? What do you
20,
mean?
20 times by 20 different women of sexual assault.
26 flipping overs.
When he very first demanded a trade, before we knew what happened, I was on his side.
So was I.
The organization is terrible. Even though you weirdly cried about how much you loved Bill O'Brien and then he got fired, that's still kind of weird to me, Deshaun, but like, before we knew what was really going on, and when the Nick Caserio hire happened, because they said they were going to work with Deshaun and then they didn't, I was with Deshaun, but then we learned all the bad details.
Yeah. So.
There were many of them. Sean Mace behind the glass, Joe George to my right. 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can join us on our Twitch at ESPN975, on YouTube at ESPN975. Houston, or you can watch us on Twitter/X. Just started that up today. Or listen to us on ESPN 97.9 HD2. Coming up next, Danico Autry suspended 6 games. One of the big Houston Texans offseason acquisitions. How much is this changing your expectations for the defense heading into the year? We'll discuss. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers over the weekend. An awesome win. Maybe the best one of the year on Saturday. We'll talk about everything we saw over the weekend starting at 2 o'clock. But the big news coming out of Houston Texans training camp today is the suspension of defensive tackle Danico Autry. We saw the news break just as we were getting on the air. And for those who weren't with us at that moment in time or at 12:30, Danico Autry actually released a statement, and a long statement that essentially said, hey, there were some that I believed were having my best interests at heart. And these people, these doctors, submitted a prescription for a different medication, whether intentionally, recklessly, or negligently, included a banned substance. This is rather par for the course. It always feels like there is some sort of excuse made when athletes test positive for some of these things. And you know what? Sometimes these excuses are probably semi-legit. Problem is, these players have to be extremely diligent with anything that they take. I mean, we've had so many suspensions over the years, Joe, for things even like Adderall.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know better. And it's unfortunate because he's going to miss the first 6 games of the season. I had been wondering why I saw so little of him at Texans training camp to this point, and I don't know if these things are related, but the fact that he had this statement drafted late on Sunday night makes me wonder if this is something that he actually tested positive for earlier in the offseason, and they're just announcing it today.
Yeah, and based on his statement, maybe there was a at the end of the second page, I believe it is where he says that he has accepted the NFL's six-game suspension. Because he kept talking about legal counsel in this statement, I do wonder if he tried his hardest to fight this thing. And then at this point, it was just, hey, we've lost. It's time for me to just take the suspension and move forward. I do wonder why NFL players, because this does happen so frequently, even if they're out of town, why they don't just exclusively use the Texans doctors. So maybe this even happened before he was on the Texans and it just came out now. But it is tough because we see this happen all the time. But these NFL players, they have to find some way to know better. And you can't expect them to know every single little thing. But it just happens a couple times every offseason where we get a suspension from a player and it's the same old response of, I didn't know that was in there.
It's a delicate line. If I'm a player, I probably want my own doctors. But at the same time, the team doctors are the ones that can help you avoid stuff like this, and they're going to go out of their way to make you avoid stuff like this. But at the same time, they might have the best interest of the team in mind as opposed to your best interests. Tricky stuff.
It is. It is hard. Are you worried without him out there? I'd say I'm not. I know, because you play nobody the first six games in terms of like elite talent. You play Indy, you play three rookie quarterbacks or backup quarterbacks who are just starting.
I wonder about their ability to stop the run. Is Autry going to be that much of a difference maker on that front? No, he's going to be more of a pass rush specialist for you. It does feel like with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson already aboard that this is more like an injury that's going to keep a guy out a couple of weeks as opposed to this is something that is going to completely break their defense.
Yeah, and also, you have to figure it out. It's part of the way the NFL works. The Texans saw this last year. All the injuries you've had. You just hope that the defensive line can stay relatively healthy while he's suspended for these six games. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm glad he just took the suspension because, like, as we're talking about the schedule here, sometimes it's just better when you have an easy schedule. Just take the suspension.
Your lumps.
Yeah, just take the lumps when you're playing the bad teams. You know, you don't want to be when you've got, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, and Dak Prescott. You don't want to be suspended for those games.
It's Jim Harbaugh last year getting suspended for non-conference.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Hey, listen.
Just like, if I'm going to miss
some
games.
They don't need me against Toledo, all right?
Yeah, like, do you really need me versus, you know, Sam Darnold?
No. Could definitely use him against the Buffalo Bills October 6th, and he won't play in that game. Maybe you could use him week one against Anthony Richardson or week two against Caleb Williams. But you also play, and you also play Trevor Lawrence, but you also play the Vikings and the Patriots along the way.
Yeah,
and
it's still a difficult stretch, but it's easier relative to the rest of the year.
I was gonna say that might be the easiest six game stretch as far as just the quarterbacks you play. That might be the easiest stretch of six games that they have the whole season.
I think you're right. Again, the whole season, it's just. It's brutal on that front. First six games, Richardson, if Caleb Williams is good, Trevor Lawrence is still above average, Josh Allen. Second stretch, Jordan Love, Richardson again, Aaron Rodgers if he's healthy, Goff, and then Dak. Like, all those quarterbacks are at least...
There's no, like, bumps.
Upside. And then at the end, you have Tennessee and Jacksonville back-to-back, and then you have Miami, Kansas City, Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee again to wrap up the year. So really, like, that might be your best stretch because you play Will Levis twice.
I was going to say, that might be the easiest stretch, and you play the MVP in Patrick Mahomes.
You might get J.J. McCarthy's first start, like, but there's still a couple games between when J.J. McCarthy and when I think you'll see Drake May. I feel like Drake May will be the starting quarterback by week six for the Patriots.
They have to hope these rookies stink.
Yeah. Take advantage when you can.
Yeah. Ruin their confidence. That's what they need to do.
Yeah.
Ask C.J. Stroud how that Texans defense looks. You know?
Pretty good.
Swarming all over the place.
They're swarming all over his face.
Watch dude. Out. They're swarming at you.
It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The best moments of the weekend, the worst moments of the weekend after the Astros took 2 of 3 against the Los Angeles Dodgers at Minute Maid Park. Stick around.
Oh, want to tell you about my friends at OU Athletics, 767 North Shefford over in the Heights. You can take over, you can take five, six classes a week. They offer over 100 of them. Every different kind of class you can take, from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and boxing to you want to do agility training, weightlifting. It's all available for you there. You can get weightlifting training, personal training, I mean. And that schedule is also for you. So that when you say you want to do personal training at OU Athletic, the first thing they'll do is they'll figure out what your schedule looks like, and they'll find you a personal trainer that's going to be at the gym at that time, and they will work with you. You don't fit the trainer's schedules. They find a way to fit yours, which just makes it an even better experience. I can't recommend that gym enough. It's the gym for me. It should be the gym for you. Check them out, oathletic.com and 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
ESPN 97.5.